You're listening to Life Strategies with Monique. Get ready to be empowered and inspired.
Do you bless the Lord? What an awesome God we serve. Because His power and His might is within each and every one of us. You know, the most powerful thing or gift that God has given us is the ability to be able to see. Sight is one thing, but to have vision is another. You know, many of us travel along this journey where we feel like we know where we're going. We get on this path and we think we know the right path to take. We know what map we're going to use. We've already figured it out. We've mapped it out, and we already know what we're going to do and how we're going to get there. But for some of us, it's more of what we call a blindfolded journey. You don't know quite where you're going and how you're going to get there. But along the way, you meet someone who asks you a question. They say, "Do you know where you're going? Do you know how you're going to get there?" And for some of us, we'll turn it down and say, "You know what? I know where I'm going. I know how I'm going to get there." But what we didn't know is that that individual knew exactly how to tell us to get there. They knew the roadblocks that were coming. They knew there were holes on our pathway or within the ground that we could avoid. But we turned it down. We said no. But what we didn't know is that that individual had the ability to be able to see what you couldn't see. Sight, the ability to be able to see. So God has placed within us that ability. But the power comes with vision. So I want to talk to you today from the topic of, do you see what I see? Sincerely, God. You know, many of us, physically, all of us in this room, we can see. But we choose not to see some of the things that God has put right in front of us. Because we have two different visions and we have two different perspectives on what we see. So let's take a moment just to see what happens when two people see the exact same thing, but you get two different visions.
This painting that I bought today, oh my God, the color in it, it is just so beautiful. I just can't believe that I got it at such a price that I did, and I can't wait for my good friend to see my picture that I love. Just the technique, the thing that the painter, the artist did in this picture is just so beautiful. It speaks to the very depths of my soul. Pat, can you come look at this picture I just bought today, girl? It is just so amazing.
You get your money back.
You can't see what I see, and the picture is beautiful. Just what the author did, and the artist just made it so beautiful. And the color, just looking at it. Can you not see what I see in this?
No.
Pat, come on. If you stop looking at your phone just a moment, stop texting, then you can feel what I feel inside of me. I got this at a great bargain.
You need your money back.
No, girl, this painting was worth $3.5 million. I got it for $75,000. I think it is marvelous.
I love the frame.
Okay.
That frame is gorgeous. Look at the gold on it.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember the artist of light, Kincaid, how it was that he could speak to the very depths of your soul and your mind to let you feel and see what he see?
Yeah, I do.
You don't see it?
No.
I'm not sure that you're getting it, but just stop for a moment. Stand where I'm standing. Maybe your light is bad. Get over there.
Peggy, I still don't see what you see in this picture.
Oh, my God. Look, wait. But just concentrate on what he did in this center of it. I know the frame is beautiful, but the actual art itself says so much.
Peggy, I got to go. I don't see what you see in this picture. Go to the store. Get your money back.
Oh. Okay. One day you'll see what I see.
Two different people, two different visions. So what is vision? Vision is the experience in the life of a person whereby a special revelation was received from God. It is a glimpse of the future before it even occurs. It is a thing or idea perceived vividly in your imagination. You can see in great detail from your vision. It is the manner in which our eyes conceive something. It is a mental picture produced by our imagination. It is the unusual competence in discernment or perception. The supernatural apparition. So vision gives us purpose and it gives us destiny. Do you have a vision? Do you see what I see, says God? See, many of us think vision is just the ability just to be seeing what those things that are around you. But the ability to see is seeing deeply. Because sometimes what we see is not actually what we see. If I get a scratch on my lens in my glasses, everything that I look at will be perceived as having a scratch on it. But it is not the individuals that I'm looking at, it's the scratch on my glasses. Vision. When our vision is impaired, we are unable to see what God has called us to do in our lives. Because when we can actually see, and what we perceive to be happening in our lives can be two different things. Because what you look at and what you hear may not be the same. For example, most of you are on Facebook and you watch all these videos. But before you hear anything, you see something. So you have perceived something and then you interpret it with your heart. That's how vision works. You perceive it with your eyes, but you interpret it with your heart. So when you see something, before you hear what it says, you've already come up with your own ideas as to what has taken place. And then you get conflicting ideas about what it is that you see. But God wants to clear up the vision that we have in our lives. How many of you have been to the movies? I know you have. You see a movie, and you get so caught up into it. You get emotionally there. You get become emotionally attached to it. Because what you're feeling is the... is what you see. Excuse me. The enemy's been real busy. When you watch something, you act and you experience everything in front of you. So when you see a movie and you become involved in it, you experience everything that is going on in that film. So much so that this movie, you want to do something when it's over with. It causes you to act, causes you to want to do something. That's what vision does for you. It causes you to want to act. Turn with me to Matthew 13. Because God has given each of us an innate ability to be able to see because we are his children. And in Matthew chapter 13, this is the story of the sower. Not the sower, but yes, the sower. But at the very end of the story, he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Then in verse 10, it says, and the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and do not see it. You have the ability to see because God has placed it in you to be able to see. Because you are his children and because you have been grafted in, you have the power to see. But not just seeing, you have a vision. There is a vision inside of you. But many of us pretend that we don't have a vision. We pretend that life is good. We pretend that we're healthy when we know we're not healthy. We pretend that our marriages are great when we know it's going down the wrong path. We pretend that our children are perfect when we know that they're doing wrong. Because God has given you that innate ability inside of you to be able to see. But we choose to ignore what we see. What is it that you're looking at that you're pretending is not there? Is it the neighbor sitting next to you? Is it the man or the woman that's in your household? You know they're struggling. You know they can't do for themselves. You know they don't have the heart of Christ. Yet we watch. We watch our world struggle. The world isn't perfect, but there's a vision that has been cast inside of you that God is expecting you to help heal the world. What is the vision that God has placed inside of you to move forward? See, vision was very popular in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God used prophets and then he used seers. And there were two words that characterize a seer. And the first word is chozah. Chozah means to behold in a vision, to gaze, to look upon, to perceive and to look. Vision. But it also means roha, which is to see, to look at, inspect, and perceive. To even consider. That's vision. Oftentimes, a seer was counsel to the king, someone that could help guide him when he needed it. Vision, the ability to be able to see. When a seer had a vision, he could vividly describe every detail about what he saw. Whether he was asleep or whether he was sitting, he could see a vision and could explain in great detail what it was he saw. And that's important because those details, those explicit details that God has given you are for a purpose. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I want to talk to you about three ways that God uses vision in our lives. The first way God uses vision in our lives is to guide us. When you guide someone, that is called leadership, instruction, and direction. When I want to lead you, when I want to instruct you, when I want to give you directions, this is what we call guidance. God would often give guidance through his prophets and his seers. In Isaiah chapter 6, he gives Isaiah a very descriptive vision. See if you can see with your own eyes and imagination the description that he gives him. In the year that King Isaiah died, he says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How much more vivid could you get? Very descriptive, very detailed. And here, God wanted to give Isaiah guidance on what he needed to do. Isaiah was able to see that he himself was unclean. Do you think God speaks to us sometimes, yet we still ignore what he's saying in our spirits? He allowed Isaiah to see how unclean he was, and then he allowed him to see that the people needed cleansing. So now Isaiah knows the vision and the call he has on his life. How many of you in this room have had a vision, a waking vision, where you're sitting there and you see what God wants to do in your life? But you ignore it and pretend that God wasn't speaking to you. But God is trying so hard to give you guidance in your life, to give you directions, to be explicit with you, to show you what it is he has for you through his vision. Because we all have one. Whether we acknowledge or not, we have a vision for our lives. Tell your neighbor, I have a vision. Now look at your other neighbor. Do you see what I see? Because there is power within you. There's vision within you. The second way that God uses vision is to change lives and then develop his kingdom. When you change something, this is a transformation or a transition from one state to another. To cause to be different. When you change something, when God wants to change you, he'll use a vision to do it. Turn to Luke 10. This is the story of a good Samaritan. Most of us know this story. Very simple story. But again, Jesus is teaching, and he's given a parable. And in this particular parable, he talks about a man who's going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he falls among what we call some thieves. They rob him and they leave him for half dead. And then a priest comes by. And it says, now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by to the other side. Likewise, a Levite came by. He came to the same place, but this time he came up and he actually looked. But a Samaritan journeyed by. But then when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he went and he bandaged him. Then he poured oil on him and wine. Tell your neighbor, that's a blessing. After he did that, he set him up on his animal. He brought him to an inn, and then he took care of him. And then when he left, he made sure that he was taken care of. Vision is a motivation to act. Vision is a motivation to act. This Samaritan changed the whole life of this man. When you have a vision, you have the ability to change the lives of thousands.
Amen, amen.
If you activate your vision. Number one, you have to receive the vision. Then you recognize the vision, and then you act on it. This Samaritan could have left him for dead. Many of us were left for dead. But somebody came along and they reached down. And they changed the course of your life because they used their vision. They saw what you didn't see. See, they could have left you broken. They could have left you busted. They could have left you disgusted. But because they used their innate ability to be able to see and discern and their vision, they gave you life. They gave you life. See, this good Samaritan had the ability to use what God gave him. He didn't just look at the surface. He never had one conversation with this man. Not a word was said, but he recognized everything that this man needed. He knew the man needed a blessing. He knew the man needed somewhere to stay. He knew the man needed to be healed from his wounds. What kind of vision is that? Where you literally can see everything an individual needs. But for many of us, will we be the Levite or the priest who walks on by? You see it, but you don't acknowledge it, but you don't want no part of it. You know, many of us will turn a deaf eye or a blind eye to what we see because we don't want to get involved. It might take up too much of our time. Might bring me in a little too deep. When it is the very thing that God has given you deep inside of you that says, this is the vision that I have placed in your life. This is the vision that I've called you to do. What are you going to do with it? How many times will you walk by and not acknowledge the gift that I've placed inside of you? Vision, the Good Samaritan, using his vision. See, God has given each of us a fingerprint, and no two fingerprints are alike. Am I right? And because there are no two fingerprints alike, there's a vision that is assigned to you with that. Your fingerprint is different than someone else's. And so is your vision. What will you do with what God has called you? Will you continue to sit on that vision? There's a Greek word entitled horesis. Vision. Horesis means and actually takes place when the spirit that lives deep within you comes through you and looks out of your eyes and allows you to see what he sees. That's Horace's vision. That's what the Good Samaritan used. He allowed the Spirit to ignite his vision to be able to see what he sees. That's powerful. When God uses vision to change a life, he wants to change thousands of lives through your vision. Again, it's not sight, it's vision. Paul talks about this vision in Ephesians 1:17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, meaning the eyes of your heart, be enlightened. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you will be able to see what he sees. The apostles in the book of Acts, that's just what they did. They acted. They transformed lives. They transformed systems because they acted. Action. Receive it. Recognize it. Act upon it. What is the vision that God has given you? Elisha was a man of vision. Turn to 2 Kings 2, verses 9 through 12. The third way that God gives vision and the way he uses vision is to sustain us. To sustain means to keep in existence, to maintain, to continue or prolong, to keep from falling or sinking, or to support the spirit of. When God uses vision, he'll use that vision to sustain you, to keep you when times get hard, when times get rough for you. He wants to sustain you and make sure that you fulfill the destiny that he has in your life. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The writer P.K. Barnard says, a man without a vision is a man without a future, and a man without a future will always return to his past. So if you don't know where you're going, you're going to always go back to what you're familiar to. Having a vision that's going to take you forward. And I'm going to get to Isaiah. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah is a bit confused because God begins to speak to him. He doesn't think he has a call on his life. So God confirms to him who he is. See, many of us won't fulfill the vision that we have in our life because we feel like we're so inadequate. We're fearful. We don't feel like we have what it takes. And Jeremiah is a prime example that shows us that we are capable. In Jeremiah 1, he says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a branch of an olive tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to him a second time saying, what do you see? And he said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the earth. He confirmed to Jeremiah exactly what he saw. And I know God has confirmed to you over and over again the call and the vision that he has placed in your life. Get rid of the inadequacies. Get rid of the mind being attacked by the enemy telling you that you can't do it, that it's not possible, that you weren't called, that you're not supposed to do it. Get rid of the mind attacks of the enemy telling you all of the negativity, that somebody else can do it, that I don't have to do it, let the next man do it. What is the vision that God has placed in your life? It has already been confirmed in your spirit. It's just a matter of, again, you receiving it, recognizing it, and acting upon it. God wants to sustain you in your vision. Now to Isaiah. I mean, 2 Kings, turn to 2 Kings. Now we're at Elisha, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what may I do for you before I am taken away?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. But nevertheless," he said, "if you see me when I am taken from you, then it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." And then he saw him no more. Elijah didn't give him the vision, but God allowed him to see. See, what Elijah did was he sparked something in Elisha. He said, go back to verse 10. He said, "If you see, it shall be." He said, "If you see, it shall be." Because when you have the ability and the power to see it, guess what? It shall be. It will come to pass if you can see it. It will come to pass. Some of you just need somebody to ignite something inside of you, to spark something inside of you, to get you to move forward. That's called a mentor. Someone to help you get to where you want to be, like the Good Samaritan or Elijah who helped Elisha, and then carry it forward. Because when Elisha caught the vision, Elisha now wanted others to see. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha now has been able to see. He saw many visions after that because he ignited what was on the inside of him. And he continued to see more. Because God wants you to see the big picture. He didn't look at what was in front of him. He didn't look at what was on the picture or the painting. He looked outside of that. If we can ever get beyond looking at our cell phones and what's on our computer screens and what's on our TV screens and actually look at the world and all of the possibilities, God can show you so much more that he has for you in your life. But the enemy has done a great job of keeping us occupied. Some of our children are about to lose their mind if they can't locate that phone within 5 minutes, ready to fight somebody because they can't have their cell phone. Literally ready to take your head off if you take it away from them because they can't see past that screen. When will we teach our children that it is bigger than that? Glory. That it is vision outside of that. That they need to see that there is a world out there that God has given them. They just need to ignite the vision that is inside of them. But that's our children. What is the vision in you? There is not one person that is sitting in this room that has not been given a vision. Maybe you haven't paid it attention, but you have a vision. Share it. 2 Kings 6:14, it says, "Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' He was fearful. So he answered, he said, 'Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw." He passed the vision on. He now was able to see and ignite something inside of him, helping others see the vision inside of themselves. What is the vision? Don't cast away your vision. Paul said it. We do not cease to praise for you and to acknowledge the wisdom and open the eyes of your heart. And I'm paraphrasing. He wants you to be able to see the possibilities that are in your life. You know your purpose. You know what God has called you to do. Don't let the vision die. You know, sometimes when we get older, our vision will tend to leave. Things will go dim, where you don't see how you used to see. Don't let the vision in your life go dim. Turn to Genesis 27. And this is the story of Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. At this point in his life, Isaac's life, it says in the scripture that his eyes began to grow dim. Dim in the Hebrew, to grow weak, to grow faint, to falter, to be weak, to be darkened, to be restrained, to be faint. It's sad to say, but when things go dim, it's almost a sign that says you're about to die. See, Isaac knew that his life was going dim because Isaac couldn't see like he used to see. He couldn't hear like he used to hear. He couldn't even make out his own son because his eyes were growing dim. But he still made preparations to bless his son because he wanted to pass it on. Don't let your eyes grow dim to the point where your vision is no longer valid. God says there's a hurting world out there, but he's placed inside of us everything that we need to be able to do everything that we should be able to do. He's asking us to be vessels of vision. Ignite the vision that is inside of you. Pass the torch forward and allow God to use you. Amen.
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.